You're listening to Jedi and Germs, the weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi, and he's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Al.
How are you?
I'm good. Pretty good.
Good. And hello over there, Devin.
Oh, hello over there.
The man of mystery, the man of, well, you know, whatever. I know, you're going to start giving me weird looks, but just because I'm having fun with this, it's okay.
Man of mystery?
Yeah, are you a man of mystery?
I don't know, am I?
I don't know, maybe.
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
Yeah, see, man of mystery, totally. We just had some things drop today, so we've got a pretty good show to talk about tonight. We'll get into the Kyrie Irving Isaiah Thomas trade in a little bit because wow, that has had some interesting turn of events. We'll get into Vegas dropped their win totals, whatnot for the NBA teams, so we can get into over unders. But let's start off with some Jazz news because we have some Jazz news, right, John?
Yeah. Well, it's not much Jazz news, but there's a new statue in front of Vivint Home Arena. It's the Jazz Note. I think that's pretty cool.
Yes, I like it. I dig it a lot. And if it lights up like the video suggests that it should, it will look magnificent.
Did you see the pictures?
Yeah, I did. I saw the pictures and they've been updating some videos too. I noticed they put in some videos to kind of show some of the updates that they're currently working on too. I like it. I'm excited for the arena.
Oh yeah. With all the renovations they've been doing. Yeah.
Soft seats, people. That's all I got to say. Soft seats. That's going to make the experience in and of itself enough for quite a few people. Am I right? Devin, why do you always give me weird looks when I make these statements? I know the Jazz is the real experience. I know. Come on.
Soft seats?
Well, yeah, don't you like the idea of being able to sit on a soft seat in the arena?
I'd rather sit on a hard seat and get cheaper food. I'm just saying, there are certain franchises, certain arenas that are doing it right. I'm looking at you, Atlanta.
Yeah, they're doing it so right that they've been trading away all their pieces for the last three seasons and went from a 60-win team to a probably won't make the playoffs
team.
That
is not true.
So they're not
that
doing it right.
That is completely not true. That is false.
John, tell him I'm
it
right.
Is,
go ahead. Tell him I'm right.
It's impossible for the Falcons to win 60 games.
Oh, now you bring... Oh, gosh. Wow, this just went from NBA to never.
We're talking arenas here. Okay.
I got to squeegee my ear. You said the Falcons will win 6 games?
No, that's...
Bold. Very bold.
Boy, if looks could kill John, I think you would have died on that one.
Okay, can we go back to the statue for a minute?
Yes, we can.
Because I've got a beef with the statue.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people have this. I like it. I think it's cool. But it shouldn't have been the next statue to be put up. Outside of what is it now? It's the Viv still, right? Yeah, Viv.
You want Jay Slow, don't you?
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I get it.
Jerry should have his statue. And the fact is, it should have been done years ago. Anyone disagree with me on this?
I'm not disagreeing.
No.
So, no, it's great, but that's, you know, I just keep hoping that we'll finally get that Sloan statue out there where it belongs, and it hasn't happened yet. And really, I want it to happen in his lifetime.
Maybe they'll wait until they're done with the reno, and you have the Jazz Note out front, and then they'll find a place to put it out there in the out there in front of the arena, maybe over there with Carl and John. It's probably the most likely spot to put it.
It needs to happen, though.
I imagine it will happen,
and it needs to happen soon.
All right.
True or false, that statue should be put up outside or inside the arena during Jerry's lifetime.
I agree.
For everything that he has given to that team, to this franchise, to this state, the great city of Salt, he needs a statue, and he needs it now.
Okay.
And
I'm
then,
not disagreeing.
And then we can talk about the really cool light-up statue because I want to go.
Oh, see, now your feelings come out. You do like it.
I do like it. I wanted it. I wanted something first.
Okay.
I have priorities, and I think Jazz fans have priorities. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah. I mean, I get why they're doing this one first, because the Reno, and they put up the Jazz note, and it signifies identity. That's what this arena is now. I mean, and not like it wasn't before, but it's now identifiable as this is it. This is the place, if you will. Yes, I'm using that phrase that we all know so well, but this is it. And now you can throw in, now when the Reno's done, now you can put up Jay Slow's statue. I'm not disagreeing. So, and otherwise in Jazz news, I haven't seen much. I will encourage anybody and everybody that does not follow Donovan Mitchell, Spider Mitchell, you got to do it. The guy is probably one of the best follows, aside from Rudy, probably one of the best follows, Rudy and Joe, and now Donovan on the Jazz. So, I mean, is that all right to plug that? Because that guy's timeline is fantastic.
You can plug that. I don't have a problem with it, but we do have another piece of Jazz news.
What are we missing?
Well, they drafted a certain player, and he signed a contract.
Overseas.
He did. That would be Nigel Williams-Goss, is he a point guard out of Gonzaga?
Yes.
Yep.
He signed with, I'm going to say it incorrectly, Partizan? KK Partizan?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's a EuroLeague team. So congrats to him.
Yep.
We'll see him next summer league, it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's usually the routine there. So
I'm going to use a Star Wars quote here. We will watch your career with great interest.
Yes, we will.
You have to watch Star Wars to keep up with us on that, Devin. Sorry.
Okay.
All right. So I think that'll cover Jazz news for the week. There really wasn't a lot to touch on. The Reno is where it's at right now, and I am getting more and more excited as we get closer. So moving on, let's jump into NBA news. Biggest topic of the week, the trade between Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas. John, let's run this thing down. What are your thoughts?
Well, Cleveland has decided that they didn't think Isaiah Thomas is as healthy as they thought, so they're trying to get an extra asset out of Boston. Boston, I mean, both teams are in a bad spot because they had players traded. Boston is in a worse spot because Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder were offended that they were traded. But Boston also has options. If they decide that Cleveland is being too greedy, they could always go back to the Bucks and say, hey, let's reopen talks with you. But I think the Cavs are playing a game of chicken. And ultimately, I think even if they think Thomas's hip is a little worse than they thought it was, they should still do the deal because it's still a good deal for them. It gets rid of Kyrie, and it's just going to be I take that back. Milwaukee could go to Boston or Cleveland and say, we like what you're offering. We can do this trade. And I think Milwaukee would actually like Kyrie more. So I take that back. Boston's in a terrible spot. But they might say, you know what, Cleveland, you're getting too greedy. We're just not going to do it. And then Cleveland will have to go back to Milwaukee, and Milwaukee will offer Cleveland a package that isn't quite as good as what Boston was giving him. Because if I remember right, the Milwaukee package was Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, and a first-round pick. And that's decent, but it's not as good as what Boston was offering. So I think the Cavs, I understand their posturing, and if they can actually get something else out of Boston, good for them. But they already won the trade, and I'm inclined to think it'll still go down in its original form, but the deadline, I think the deadline's tomorrow. If they don't agree tomorrow, then it's off the table and they start over.
Yeah, deadline's tomorrow. And if I read right, the deadline for the physical to be passed is Thursday. So if I think I read that right. It was on Wojnarowski's recent piece on ESPN about Isaiah Thomas. And I think that was a couple of things he mentioned. So, yeah, we're going to watch the next 24 to 48 hours with great interest. But I'm very inclined at this point in time to think the trade still goes through and goes through as constituted. I don't see anything changing.
Yeah.
So, aside from that, I think you had some injuries you were bringing up that we wanted to go over on the,
But you know, off season, these would like barely be worth a mention, but Brandon Knight, Phoenix has not been having a good career there. He is out for the year. His contract remains a millstone, but he was so bad with real plus minus last year that it might be a blessing for Phoenix to not have him as an option. Also, the Pelicans signed Solomon Hill, but he is going to be out, they say, 6 to 8 months. So theoretically, he could be back in time for the playoffs if the Pelicans make the playoffs, but basically he's out for the year as well.
Okay. And then the last note, it looks like you put in a little something about Noel.
Yeah, the Mavs offered Nerlens Noel a deal. It was a 4-year deal worth $17.5 million a year. He turned that down. He accepted the qualifying offer, so he's going to be an unrestricted free agent next year, and that is one heck of a gamble. I think $17.5 million a year was plenty for what he has displayed so far in the NBA.
I think that's generous for what he's displayed so far in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, you give him that money, you're going on potential, and he thinks his potential is even better than that. So,
yeah, apparently at least one team doesn't believe that, though. Can we be fair? The team that drafted him at this point in time or has him or whatever it is. Nerlens Noel, yeah, in my opinion, has been very much a disappointment so far, and I don't know that he's going to get that next year. I mean, he gets the qualifying offer now. I don't think he's going to get even as high as he wants next year either. So.
I mean, it depends. There's been crazy contracts every year. You know, Ryan Anderson got his, Alan Crabb got his this offseason. Was there any crazy ones this offseason? Last season was a truly insane one.
Trying to think.
I mean, there's ones like KCP getting a 1-year, $23 million deal. You understand that.
Yeah, and of course, J.J. Redick getting a pretty good deal where he's at, but he was worth it. He put in the time in the playoffs. I mean, guy got paid, yeah. And Joe Ingles got paid. So I'm not seeing a lot of on potential big contracts that were given out in the offseason this year. Nothing like that.
Boston signed a guy who's got some potential, but I don't know that he'll ever really be like a superstar.
I don't remember who you're talking about, though.
He's got good hair. Jordan Haywood, I think was his name.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Gave him a lot of money. So we'll see if that works out for him or not.
That's a good point.
Yeah. He can stay healthy.
Yeah. 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 That's okay. Yeah. Good point. I wasn't going to go there, but I mean,
is he a point guard?
Gordon Hayward is probably going to be just fine. Harvard. Gordon Harvard. Is that what it is?
He's in Boston, so he's Gordon Harvard.
How many times can we slaughter a name on this show? Well, we're about to find out.
Many times.
All right. And I think that cuts it for NBA news and notes. There hasn't been a lot.
Let's get to the fun part.
Yeah, let's do it.
Vegas put out its over-under odds, and so we're going to go through. Now, last year, we did this, and Alan got 22 out of 30, Devin got 21 out of 30, and I got 19. So let's see how we do this year.
Because Alan rocks.
That must be it. Okay. we'll do the West first, and then we'll do the East.
Okay.
So, the Warriors. 7.5 over or under.
You said 67.5?
Yep.
They won 67 last year. I'm going to go under just slightly. I don't want to go over because I don't think they're going to win a whole lot more than that.
I'm going over.
Well, here's the thing, John. The West got better.
The West did get better.
And so did the Warriors. I'm totally with you. Over.
I'm saying 66.5.
They can't win a half a game.
Well, he said 67.5. I'm saying under.
That's how an over-under works.
You know what? Don't argue with me. I'm saying under. Okay? Done.
All right. Rockets, 55.5.
Over. You just said the West got better. Come on, Devin.
Over. We'll go over.
I'm going to go under.
Ooh.
Yeah, they got Chris Paul, but they gave up a lot, too. I don't know how that's going to work.
I said over, but 57, that's where I'm saying. See, that's still over. It just doesn't give you too much.
Okay. Spurs, 54.5.
Ooh. They got Manu Ginobili back. I'm going over.
I'm going to go under.
What's that, John?
They could not trade LaMarcus Aldridge, so I really don't know how the chemistry is going to be.
By the way, they won 61 last year. You think they're going to drop 7 games like that?
I do.
No, I'm going to go over.
I'll go under.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a rough year for them. You know, I know it's not a lot, but you've got an aging Pau Gasol. You've got a LaMarcus who just hasn't shown you what he showed you in Portland. They gave up Jonathan Simmons for absolutely nothing. And what did they add? They added Rudy Gay. Is that supposed to? I don't know. I think they're going to struggle a little bit, especially starting out the season.
Okay. And they are in a tough division.
The West got better.
All right.
All right. Thunder, 51.5.
Damn it, I'd love to say even. I'll go over.
Over, half a game.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Over. Over. I'm going to go over as well. All right. Timberwolves, 48.5.
Dang, that's a 17-game increase over last year. I'm saying under. I don't think they get there.
What did you say, Devin?
I'm saying under. They'll put it together towards the end of the season, but I think it's going to take a little bit of time with that many new guys and so much shakeup in that roster.
Vegas has taken a chance on that one. 18 game or 17 games, really?
And in the West.
I know.
Jimmy Butler is huge. Jimmy Butler is huge for them.
Yeah, I know, but 17 games worth?
Big leap.
Yeah.
All right. Nuggets, 45.5.
Over, and I'm going to I'm going to say over, but I'm going to say Devin, like Devin did a minute ago, maybe a half a game. I think they're going to be right around 45, 46 games.
Who else did they add besides Millsap?
They lost Gallo. They added Trey Lyles and their other pick.
By the way, they won 40 last year, so that's only a 5-game increase on last year.
Huh. I'm going to go under.
Yeah, they didn't really add anybody else. I'm looking at their roster.
What are you going, John?
I'll go under. I feel like I've gone 3 over and 3 under so far. Okay, Clippers, 43.5.
That's an 8-game drop for them. Wow. Of course, they lost Chris Paul. They lost J.J. Redick.
I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go... Ooh. I'll go over. Yeah.
I'll go over. They got Beverly. They got Lou Williams in that trade. They've got some pieces, and they still got Blake. They still got DeAndre. If those two stay healthy, they'll be just fine.
Yeah. They add Gallo. They add Lou Williams. They add Milos Teodosic, Patrick Beverly, Sam Decker. They're a deep team now. They might have lost Chris Paul, but they're a pretty deep team now. So we all went over?
Yeah.
Okay. Blazers, 42.5.
Under. I mean,
over.
Yeah, Devin's going to pick the over. They won 41 last year. They were at 500 last year. Yeah.
John, would you tell him who they added late last season?
Late last season?
Yes.
Nurkic.
Big man Nurk. All year, they're over.
Yeah, but again,
they're over.
Yeah. John, are you going over or under?
You know what? I think I have to go over because they're going to have him for a full year, and they were a better team once they got him.
Okay.
And they did get rid of Crabbe.
But again, you got to take into effect that you got to take into effect the West is tougher, and their division has gotten tougher.
Oh, I know.
So.
Okay. So, according to Vegas, those are your playoff teams, which means the Jazz are out of the playoffs. They have them at 40.5.
Over.
Yeah, I'm going to go over. I can see the Jazz being somewhere in like I regret saying this, like a 43-win team.
I'm thinking
44, yeah. Somewhere in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. The only way I see them going under is if Rudy misses a significant amount of time.
I mean, Oklahoma City is clearly right now the favorite for the division, but you're going to have Denver, Utah, and Portland all fighting for that six through eight spot, I think.
And the Timberwolves.
Yeah, but I still don't think the Timberwolves are going to be up there at the 43-45 win, though. But I don't know. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Vegas's pick for 10th is the Pelicans at 39.5. Full season with AD and Boogie. Do you think it works?
Barely over. I don't want to go too far under. That's 5 games better than they were last year. And they were the 10th team last year at 34 wins.
They have an awful bench. I'm going to go under.
Didn't they add someone else, though? I could be mistaken. I thought they added a...
Based on Rondo? I mean, I'm looking at their salary. Their fourth highest salary is Solomon Hill. He's out for the year. Their fifth highest is Omer Asik, which is just this bad contract they can't seem to get rid of. They don't really have anybody else. They signed Ian Clark. They drafted Frank Jackson. I mean,
and that Hill injury actually hurts them. If I remember correctly, Hill was a decent contributor for them late last season, wasn't he?
Yeah, Hill's where he finally, last year was when he finally looked like he might be an NBA player.
Yeah.
I was going to go over, but you persuaded me. I'll go under. But it'll be fun to watch either way.
Yeah. It's an implosion or whether they actually figure something out. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Gentry gets fired this year.
Surprise, surprise.
Grizzlies, 37.5. They lost Zach Randolph. Like they lost somebody else significant. I mean, they still have Conley. They still have Gasol. They're hoping they can get anything out of Chandler Parsons.
What did you say the number was?
37.5.
Over. Barely.
I'm going to go under. If anything should happen to Conley or to Gasol, I think they're in big trouble. And this really is not a bad season for them to try and maybe not win as many games and start retooling. They're not in a bad spot, but you know, a higher draft pick wouldn't hurt him going into next season.
Yeah, I don't know if they're really built to do that, though. I think you can't ignore how good Conley and Gasol are when they're both playing. I think they'll miss the playoffs, but, you know, I think I would put them right at a 38-win team. So I guess I'll go over.
I'd put them at a 37-win team, so.
Well, there you go. Mavericks, 35.5.
Under.
I instantly wanted to go under, but there is one thing that has me intrigued, and that is their rookie.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's enough. I mean, they've got Curry still, the better of the Curry brothers. But Dirk's getting old.
The better of the Curry brothers.
I said it. Look at the shooting percentages. I said it.
So wait, the number I said under, the number was what again?
35.5?
35.5.
I'm still going to say under. Yeah. Last year they won 33, by the way. That's right there where they were at last year. I'm still saying under.
I'll stay under, but they'll be close.
I'm going to stay under as well. I think Harrison Barnes is going to have fun playing with Dennis Smith, but that doesn't necessarily mean wins. All right. Lakers, 33.5.
Under.
My putrid hate for the Lakers wants to say under, but I actually think they're going to be either right there or just slightly over 34 wins. So I'm going to say over.
Yeah, that's hard. They really revamped their roster.
Yeah, they did.
They got Brooke Lopez. They got KCP. Lonzo Ball looked great in summer league. They're hoping for a second year jump from Brandon Ingram. Kuzma looked great in summer league. He looks like he'll be able to contribute. I don't know. That's a tough one.
They've got Randall. They've got Clarkson. They've got a good young squad, but. I don't know, man.
We're getting down to the bottom dwellers of the West, and that's the problem. We've already talked about how good the West is, and we've already picked 10 teams to be 40 games or better. So this is a tough one, but I still think they're going to be over. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I'll go. Don't want to, but I need to. Okay. Kings,
someone's
going to
lose. Yeah. Just reminding you, someone's got to lose these games.
Kings, what?
28.5.
Under. Youth movement in Sacramento.
There's no movement in Sacramento.
They got George Hill, but George Hill, I don't think he's going to be as effective with that much less talent on his team.
Well, then they add like four rookies.
Yeah, they got De'Aaron Fox. They got Justin Jackson. They got Harry Giles, who won't be able to play until mid-season. They have some other rookies from last year that they're hoping can make some jumps. Buddy Hield looked pretty good, but this still feels like okay, one more year of sucking, and then they make the jump next year.
Yeah, we've been saying that for a decade.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've been saying that for a long time, but, and it's never happened.
I mean, it's their first full year without Cousins. And I think everyone on that team would be motivated to be a better team without him now that he's finally gone.
Yeah, probably.
But I just don't see it. Okay, and then Suns, 28.5.
Under. They only won 24 last year, so I'd still say under.
I'm trying to think of who they added.
Not much.
They added, they had a pretty good draft. They added, what's his name? Who did Phoenix draft? Josh Jackson.
Yeah.
So they'll have Eric Bledsoe back. I don't think they're going to have their, well, they might do what they did last year and just bench him for the second half of the year. Dragan Bender should be better. Devin Booker is going to be, you know, scoring 35 points a game on 36 shots. I just don't see it.
I'll stay under.
Chris looked like he regressed over the summer.
Yeah. I'll stay under on that one.
All right, let's go to East.
Everybody's Celtics. Under.
Except 56 and a half.
Everybody's under.
Except for the Celtics and the Cavs.
You said Celtics 56 and a half. You said Celtics out the gate. That means that Vegas thinks that they'll be the number one seed.
Yes, they do.
Here's the problem, John. We have to think about this, and we do not know who will be the starting point guard for that team.
Well, and they won 53 last year as the number one seed. They add Gordon Hayward. They lose Bradley. They lose Crowder, likely. They lose Olynyk. I mean, that's their defensive lineup and depth. They lose a lot of their depth. And then they're going to bring in a Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. I'm going to say under.
Also crucial, they lost Jarepko.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna say under 50. I mean, even if I go under by a game or two, I'm gonna say under. I think they're gonna be right where they were last year, 53, 54 wins.
I'm going under as well.
I will join you guys.
All right. Cavs 53 and a half.
Over.
Yeah, okay, I'll go over.
That's also a two-game jump over what they had last year, too. And if we're picking them to be the number one seed, which I am at this point, then I think they're going to be over.
All right, Raptors, 48 and a half.
Over. You're in the East. Those top three teams, if they're not winning 50 games at least, there's something wrong.
It adds CJ Miles.
CJ kilometers.
CJ kilometers.
Yeah, let's go over. They still got their big guy. They still got their dynamic duo in the backcourt.
And they won 51 last year.
They can do it again.
Yeah, someone's got to win. Wizards, 47 and a half.
Wait, you said somebody's got to win. Does that mean you went over on them as well?
I went over.
Okay. Wizards at what?
47 and a half.
Over.
I'll take the over.
Yeah, I'll go over as well. I like their team. All right. Bucks also at 47 and a half.
Under.
But the freak, man. The freak got his challenge. I'm not sure if you guys saw that.
And you hope that Jabari's going to be healthy this year. That's a big hope, right? And Middleton back, yes?
If I remember right.
If you remember right, what? John? Lost you. You said if you remember right.
I said if I remember right, Parker's not going to be there for the beginning of the season. He's still going to miss the first couple months of the season.
Correct.
With his injury from last year.
And Middleton.
So that hurts. They see Middleton, Greek Freak. I mean, it's okay, team. What did they finish last year? Because they're about the same as what they were last year in my eyes.
Last year they were the sixth seed at 42 wins.
I'll go under. They'll be going close, under. but just under on that one, I think.
What did I say? I said under, right?
Well, you are now.
Okay, I am now. Fine.
43 and a half.
For who?
They were one game away from making playoffs last year.
Oh, the Heat?
The Heat. They added Olynyk. Decent draft getting Bam Adebayo. It's still Eric Spoelstra. Still got Dragic and Whiteside.
I'm
Deion Waiters got resurrected down there.
That means they're being picked. What is that? The sixth seed for the Heat?
Yes.
43.5 under.
I'll go over. I'll give them that half game.
I gotta go over. I don't know why, but I'm gonna go over.
Because Hassan Whiteside is better than Rudy Gobert.
Oh, snap.
Rudy's gonna favorite our podcast.
Yes, he will.
Okay. The next two teams would be tied for 7th and 8th. They have the Sixers at 42.5.
Holy crap. That's a 14-game jump for them. Jump, yeah, it is.
They're hoping that Embiid can play more games than 31 this year. They're going to have Ben Simmons. They're going to have Fultz. They got J.J. Redick to have some backcourt scoring. They added Amir Johnson for the heck of it.
I'm still going to go under. I think that's a little too high of a jump for them.
All right.
I'm getting drunk on the process. Let's do this. 43.
Wow, you're going over.
I am. I am buying in. If they stay healthy, I mean, I'm picking them to make the playoffs. We might as well just go for it here. That's a huge jump in talent. When you think about that, from who they were last year.
It is, but that's a lot of unproven young talent still.
Okay, but if, yeah, you, if
the East is terrible, I'm going over.
Okay, fine.
If you're adding two number one picks.
Two number one picks.
You're adding a point guard. You're adding a point center or point
and then you, forward. And then you're adding a guard who was one of the best defenders in the West in the playoffs last year.
One of the best shooters.
One of the best shooters, too. He was a really good defender. Let's not undercut J.J. Redick on that. He is a good defender.
I'm looking at getting my Sixers jersey.
Okay. Who's the other team?
Charlotte. They added Dwight Howard. They have Michael Kidd-Gilchrist injured. He's back. They drafted Malik Monk. You still got Kemba Walker there. Frank Kaminsky's kind of been disappointing, but maybe he'll be better this year.
I'm going to go under.
What did you? What's the number?
42.5.
42.5. Oh, that's right. They were tied with the. Yeah. I'm going to go under as well.
I'm going to go under as well. Because the 8th seed is going to be a 38-win team.
And they will be?
The Hornets.
I know. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Okay. Next is the Pistons at 38.5.
Under.
Been kind of disappointing so far for Stan Van. They let KCP go for nothing.
Yeah, I'll stay under on this one. You got to show me something more. I thought they were going to do that last season or the season before, and it just hasn't happened. So.
Yeah, I think they would love to get rid of Reggie Jackson somehow, but no one wants him.
Plus, John just said that the 8th seed will win 38 games, which means you can't let Detroit win more than the 37.5 anyway.
Nope. At least they got Luke Kennard. He ought to be good, but yeah. Anyway. All right. Next is Magic at 33.5.
That's a 4-game jump for them. I don't know that they did a whole lot to improve that much, did they?
They added Simmons.
Right.
They drafted Jonathan Isaac. But Magic kind of have a history of having good drafts on paper that don't exactly pan out the way they hoped. They got Evan Fournier there.
Yeah.
Got Terrence Ross there now.
I'm going to take the under.
Did they trade Harris?
They did. I think Harris went to Detroit.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, I'm going under.
Desperately wants me to be good.
Come on, John. It's not that
hard. Are they going to get to 34?
They were at 29 last year. Are they really worth the five games?
Oh, I'm going under. All right. Pacers, 31.5.
That's an 11 game drop for the Pacers.
Well, right now the Pacers' best player is Victor Oladipo.
Well, then let's...
He really led the Magic well.
Let's just drop him below another 11 then. I'm going to go under.
I'll go under as well.
Yeah, me too. Miles Turner looks like he's going to be great, but... Larry Bird pretty much destroyed that team.
Come on, Victor Oladipo was good for the Oklahoma City Thunder last year. Guys, stop it already. Right?
That's the option on a seventh seed. Okay, Knicks, 30.5.
I want so much for Jeff Hornacek to see success there, and I'd love to say over. I don't think so, so let's say under.
Okay, hit me with the roster real quick. Do you have that by chance?
Carmelo Anthony, and this is in order of how well they're paid. Carmelo Anthony, Joakim Noah, Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, Lance Thomas, Kristaps Porzingis, Ron Baker, Kyle O'Quinn, Frank Ntilikina, Mindaugas Kuzminskas, Michael Beasley, Ramon Sessions, Guillermo Hernan Gomez, and a bunch of other guys.
This sounds like a terrible roster.
They won 31 games last year.
I'm going over. Wait. One thing. I have heard a rumor, and I need you to tell me, John, if this is true or not, that Carmelo Anthony will actually be playing in a hoodie. If he's playing in a hoodie, I am definitely taking the over.
Go over last year, and boy did I pay for that one. I'm going under on the Knicks. I'm never gonna have faith in the Knicks.
And for those who missed Devin's reference of the hoodie, just go back and watch the video of him playing pickup ball in a hoodie a couple of weeks back. So there you go.
Yeah. All right. Brooklyn, 28.5.
Did you say 8.5?
28.
I'm going under.
28.5. They won 20 last year, aren't they? You know, are they worth eight games? Probably not. I'm going to say under.
They traded away Brooke Lopez.
And they picked up.
They are now a team of D'Angelo Russell, Alan Crabb, Damari Carroll, Jeremy Lin, Mozgov, Trevor Booker, Karis Levert, Joe Harris.
Well, okay, Damari Carroll and Booker alone ought to be enough. So I'm going to say under. Devin?
They have no reason to tank, but that is just the weirdest dang roster. I'm going to go under.
Cleveland All is right. so grateful. Maybe. Maybe so grateful.
I think Devin's going under as well.
I said that.
Oh, I didn't hear
you.
I
said you could put it at 8.5. I'd go on.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Okay, Hawks, 25.5. Boy, did they just torpedo their roster.
That is an 18-game drop, and wow. From fifth seed all the way down to the bottom.
I don't know who they have. Is it just Schroeder?
They have Schroeder. They have Kenton Bazemore, Miles Plumlee, Ilyasova, Bellinelli, Torian Prince. They just drafted John Collins. He looks like he'll be a decent rookie.
Folks, you have your new...
That's pretty much it.
Folks, I think you found your new number one pick next year. We're going to go with Atlanta at the under.
Yep. I'm staying under.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, it's hard to see Budenholzer tanking, but my goodness, roster. All right. And finally, picked by Vegas to be the worst team in the entire NBA, the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, man.
21.5.
I just picked the Atlanta Hawks to be the worst team in the NBA. That means I have to say over on the Bulls.
Yep. Well, but Dwayne Wade hasn't asked for a buyout yet. And their roster is otherwise Robin Lopez, Chris Dunn, Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, Cam Payne, Jerian Grant, Bobby Portis, Paul Zipser. He showed some promise last year. That's about it.
What about the bearded guy?
Mirotić?
Mirotić. Yeah, he's still there. What is this green? Qualifying offer. So I guess he's there for one more year.
I'm going to go over.
Going over.
Ooh.
They got some young pieces. They're in the East. They'll get a few games here and there. I'm not thinking they're going to be much more. But...
Well, since I picked the Hawks to be the worst team, then I'm going to go over because I have to.
You're just copying me.
No.
That's all you're doing.
No.
Yes, it is.
You copied off of me first.
I went first.
Yeah, but I said Hawks were the worst team. Never mind.
I'm going to go, let's see. It is Thibodeau coaching.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Not?
He's coaching Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, gosh. I can't believe I did that. Yeah. He's the one who wanted Jimmy Butler to follow him. Never mind.
I could edit that out, John.
Don't edit. No.
What's it worth to you?
You bet you got to pay for it, John. He's willing to edit that out, but I don't know. He might his price might be steep, huh?
Who's the coach of the Bulls? Hoiberg?
Yes.
I'm gonna go under. I'm going under on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of the East teams.
That's what Devin said before we started this one.
Yep, Devin went under on 8 of them, and you went under on 11 of them. Wow.
Ooh.
The only ones you took the over on are the Cavs, the Raptors, the Wizards, and the Bulls. All right. Got some good variety in there. See how we do in April.
Yep.
We putting any money on this? We'll totally forget. Never mind.
yeah, right. We probably will. All right. That's your Vegas odds for the start of the NBA season, which everybody, just a small reminder, we're just under, I can't even count the days. I know it's somewhere around the, hovering around the 50 days away or less. So about a month and a half. Let's do it.
Yep.
So, all right. Moving on, let's go from our NBA notes and news segment, moving on to Devin's, no, excuse me. I don't think we had any listener questions tonight, did we? I didn't see any.
No, I didn't. I didn't ask for any. I figured this was going to be a quick one.
All right, moving on then to Devin's quick hits.
Oh man, there was a fight. You guys didn't watch it, I don't think.
I watched it.
Did you watch it? What'd you think?
I watched it. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot better than I was thinking it was going to be.
Right?
I mean, that's my favorite Mayweather fight I've ever watched.
Well, it's like the first one where he's gone after a guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, usually I just watch him just run away for 12 rounds and then win. And this one, you could see his strategy, and he was really smart about it, where he just kind of hung back for 3 or 4 rounds, but then he went on the attack, and it was really all a matter of boxer stamina outdoing MMA stamina. Now, if they fought in the MMA, McGregor would beat him in the first round. But under boxing rules, yeah, it was a really good match, and McGregor did better than I thought he would do. But Mayweather was more aggressive than he usually is, and that just made it an entertaining fight.
Maybe I follow some different people, but I could have sworn by some of the comments on my timeline Saturday night that it really kind of, for some folks, was a lackluster fight. It was just, and people weren't very, I mean, the refs finally decided, I guess, in the end, rather than a KO?
It was a KO.
Was it?
It was a stop, which is a technical KO.
Yeah, he didn't fall down, but you could tell he was kind of out of it. I mean, you could tell in the ninth round that he was just way behind. And when the 10th round started, you could tell he was just completely out of gas. And, you know, you can look up the ending online, I'm sure. And even though he didn't fall down, you just knew that McGregor wasn't going to be able to do anything. I mean, he was mad the ref called it when he did. I know the competitor in him would have wanted to keep going, but I just didn't.
Well, and that's
I wish they would have let him just at least knock him down and then call it. But ref jumped in what they did, and I can't really complain about it because you could tell the entire round that McGregor was trying to stay on his feet.
And that's what I mean, is it seemed like there were a lot of people that were disappointed that the ref stepped in when they did, and were hoping that they'd let him knock him down again. So I'm just judging by my timeline on that. A lot of people mentioned that, but for the most part, it was an overwhelming, welcome to boxing, McGregor. Now go away. Is that kind of the, I mean, you came into boxing, you lasted, but this is why you're not in boxing. Is that the good response?
He went 10 rounds with Mayweather. That is a very respectable outing.
Okay. Then you can scratch my ignorant comment there. So
the fact of the matter is the guy got paid,
right?
I mean, he really got paid. So he doesn't care. He doesn't have to fight again. And I don't know how much fighting he'll do because the guy's got so much money. And if he's just smart about it, you know, he's set. But John, you watched the fight. I'm hoping you watched the interview after.
Did we lose you?
I didn't see any interview.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was going to ask if McGregor is the best interview in sports. I tend to think he is, but if you didn't see it, there's nothing to go off of, but there's something about an Irishman all worked up and hollering into a microphone that just makes me happy. Speaking of Irish, Deshaun Kizer named the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Have the Browns finally found their quarterback, or is this going to go just like it has the last 20 some odd times, it seems like?
It's the Browns. It's the Browns.
John?
It's the Browns.
It's the Browns. He said the same thing I did. It's the Browns. It is.
Okay.
That's not the answer you were looking for, I know.
No. If you don't want to believe in my guy, that's your choice. That's your mistake to make. Just trying to see what's happened in sports. It was so much of the fight. Quick glance over. I don't care about baseball enough to talk about it. Football's almost here. Yay. Let's touch on that. BYU, LSU, don't know where the game's going down for certain.
We do now.
Is it in New Orleans? Because I heard it was still up in the air late this afternoon.
Well, I didn't see this afternoon. I know as of this morning or late yesterday, they had decided that it was going to be at the Superdome in Louisiana. So unless that's changed, maybe due to weather, I don't know. But that's the last I saw.
Who are you taking?
Gosh, don't put me on the spot here.
Who are you taking?
My heart says the Cougars.
Well, duh. Let's use your brain
for brain. I'll say LSU, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than folks expect.
You're right. It's probably going to be within 50 points.
No,
John.
Especially based on what I saw last week, I'd have to give it to LSU.
Blowout, close game.
No, it'll be close.
See. Thank you.
Like 10 points.
And that's under what everybody's picked. Vegas has got it, the line at 14 right now, the last time I checked.
I need to get to Vegas. All right. How about the Utes? They are playing an FCS team.
Yeah, watch out. Wow. I mean, watch out, Utah.
They're playing North Dakota State.
What do you want us to say to that? They're going to win that ball game. I don't expect anything different. I think they're going to win. Pretty sure they're going to win. John?
Yeah, they'll win.
No, okay. Okay, they're just playing. They're playing North Dakota. They're not playing North Dakota State.
They're still going to win.
Well, no, there's a significant difference there.
Well, that's okay. You asked what our thoughts were. We said they're going to win.
But I don't think you realize the significance and the different level of... Okay, yeah, go Utes.
Okay, next.
Art Briles got a job until he didn't. Can we all agree that we're glad he didn't?
Sure.
Yeah.
So probably a good move because there seemed to be quite a reaction to that hiring. So, you know, I think they made the wise decision in kind of backing out of that deal. Alan, you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do one more because we really should talk about this. A lot of fundraising going on for Houston, for the Gulf area, as a result of Hurricane Harvey.
Wait,
one of the biggest,
can I stop you for a minute? Because I want that to be the last quick hit because it is the hurricane, last quick hit. But I have to throw one in because this is only fair for you. I want your thoughts on this. Colin Kaepernick is being discussed as a potential bench guy for the Denver Broncos. Yes or no?
Where did you see that?
I saw it today on... Oh, shoot. See, now you made me look it up. I saw it today.
I have heard no such thing.
Do I
have any objection to it?
Do you? Yeah.
CBS Sports. Broncos won't rule out Kaepernick signing with Paxton Lynch out a few games.
Thank you. That's where I was looking. Yes.
Do it. Bring him in.
Okay. I mean, they're not. There's discussion that he won't rule him out. As the coach has said, look, we need a guy. Colin Kaepernick's there. He's a guy that we'll consider because at this point in time, they're not sure how long Lynch is going to be out.
No, and Lynch is out. They're still kind of unsure on Simeon.
And then the backup to Simeon's their wide receiver. So,
they had drafted the quarterback out of Ole Miss, but I can't remember what happened with him. He was this year's Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah. So I just wanted your thoughts as a Denver Bronco. And we've talked Cap recently.
We've talked Cap a ton. And, yeah. And I do not think Kaepernick is a great pocket passer. I think San Francisco really kind of blew it with him.
Big time.
By trying to make him into that.
Big time.
If Denver wants to take a shot on him, absolutely. But when you bring him in, you better give him some leeway to get out of the pocket and run the ball.
Would you play him over Simeon?
I don't know that I'd jump that far.
Okay.
You know, Simeon was the starter last year. I would stick with him, see how things are going, and if you can get Cap some reps late in the game or something like that, then, you know, go from there.
Okay.
But no, I have no problem whatsoever with Kaepernick being on my team.
All right. John, you agree, disagree?
I agree.
Okay. All right, now hit your final hit.
Hurricane Harvey, one of the best fundraising campaigns, if you will, I hate calling it that, has been done by J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
So just want your guys' take. What can we take away from this and apply it with sports and what you're seeing here, I guess?
Well, I just think as a sports community, people need to embrace the opportunity to help right now. And the opportunity to give. So if J.J. Watt is going to step in front and do that, by all means. And I've always liked J.J. Watt. I like him a lot. So, no, I think right now anybody and everybody that can step up and help, it's welcome, it's needed. I just read today that I believe that it is the most rain on record in U.S. history that they're getting bombarded with down there in Texas. That says something to what the magnitude of what Harvey is right now.
Yeah, it was a continental United States record.
Yep. So no, absolutely. Any help. And if the sports can kick it off, then do it.
John.
Yep. I agree. I really like it when people use their, their fame and their fortune to bring attention on people in need. And obviously the whole nation is watching what's going on in Houston right now. And it's going to take a long time for Houston to get back to normal.
And can I say, as much as I've looked forward to BYU and Louisiana, Louisiana State, LSU, I just thoughts, no matter who you are, should be on Houston right now and on whatever you can do to help in any possible way. Even if it is just, you know, support, thoughts, prayers, anything for him right now. I think this, it's needed down there. I mean, this is the second time in how many years, in the last 10 years, that the Houston area has been hit with a pretty nasty hurricane. So those folks down there have been through the ringer a few times. So support, thoughts, prayers, love, anything we can send their way, I'm gladly behind it. All right, so moving on from quick hits, that's a great place to end. Let's move on to pop culture. John, you wanted to talk. I know what you want to talk. It's been the talk of the week on social media.
You still don't watch Game of Thrones, huh?
No, I don't. Never have. Quite possibly never will. I'll probably read at least the first book, but I don't know. I haven't gotten into it, no. I don't have HBO either.
Yeah, I get HBO here and there to, like, watch Game of Thrones, and then I cancel. Season has been pretty good. It started off really strong. The last couple episodes made me nervous with some of the directions they were taking certain characters, and they were also really abusive about travel, because the thing about Game of Thrones is it's this broad, vast series. It takes place over this continent, and it will take characters several episodes to get from here to there. And then in the last episode, characters were traveling thousands of miles in like two scenes, and it just felt like the showrunners were really just playing with travel. I don't know how people traveled as fast as they did. So there was worries about that. And then there was worries what they were doing with a couple characters. I found the finale very satisfying, and it ends on a big cliffhanger. There's only one more season left after this. But in a series where it's taking characters you like and it's spread them all out all over the world, it's been bringing the ones who are still alive back together. And, you know, it restored my faith in the series with the finale. And there's only one season left, and it's only going to be six episodes. They've been saying that the episodes might be like an hour and a half each, so it's not really that short a season when you look at it that. But yeah, there's only one season left, and I'm excited, even though we're probably not going to get the final season for another year and a half. But it's been a journey that's been worth it. It's been one of my favorite series to follow. I got into the books first, really enjoyed the books. I thought the series has been fantastic in adapting them, and they've been faithful to some stories, and they've dropped other stories because you just kind of have to. And when you have an author who just won't finish the series, the TV show had to like go its own way with where plot lines were going, but it's all paying off. And one of my favorite series I've ever watched.
So did you read the entire series at this point that he's written?
Yes, I have read everything available in the series that he has written. The problem with him is he wrote the first three books in a 5-year period, and then he took another 4 years to get out that fourth book, and then he took another 5 years to get out the fifth book, and they greenlit the series between the fourth and fifth book. And I'm sure that he probably thought in his mind that he'd have the books finished in time for when the series got there, but he just didn't. You know, I don't know what his problem is, but he wrote the first three books 5 years. And then in the past, I don't know, 18 years, he's only put out two more books.
To be fair, I mean, you and I, part of a writer's group, we know what writing's all about. And I don't know what goes through George R. R. Martin's mind, but it's not like pumping out books like that is an easy thing to do on a consistent basis for, I mean, even some of the best authors have had to take a break, have had to walk away for a little bit. I mean, look at Stephen King. It took him how long to write the Dark Tower series?
You can't look at Stephen King though, because he has an amazing writer's ethic.
Oh, I know he does. I know he does. And maybe that was a bad mistake to use him. I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, my thing is writer's group is something we do on the side. If it was my job to write, I would write. And for someone who put out this series that everyone loves and he just decides not to do it. I mean, I've heard Brandon Sanderson talk about it where he just like, he's angry at Martin because he just doesn't feel like he has the ethic to finish this.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on. you have this all outlined in your head. I get that it's hard to write a novel and you want to get it just right. But if you can write three books in 5 years, why can't you write the last four books in another 5 years? Instead, it's been 17 years or however long for those last two books. We still don't know when book six is coming out. And book seven, I mean, he may die of old age before book seven comes out. So
yeah, no.
That's what everyone's frustrated with Martin over.
I understand. I do. Maybe I'm just looking at it a little bit of a give the guy a break back, you know, idea. I don't know.
Sequels. He's written side stuff. He's
right
on other projects, but this is like the main one, and I think it's his duty to his fan base. I think there's an obligation there.
The germs has spoken. All right. Nothing else to talk on the pop culture front. Trying to think if I've missed anything else. I haven't seen many movies lately. In fact, it's been almost a month since I've gone in and seen any movies.
I'm hoping to see Wind River this Friday. Not a lot of good stuff's coming out, but that one is from the writer of Hell or High Water. He's directing this one as well, as Jeremy Renner in it. And my wife is out of town last weekend, so we didn't go to any movies. But I'm hoping this weekend that's the one we go see.
Well, on the non-movie note, or perhaps it still fits in the movie note, still pop culture, Friday is Force Friday. So for those who don't know what Force Friday is, they started this with Force Friday 2 years ago, prior to, you know, on September 1st, prior to the release of the Force Awakens. Now they're going to do it in anticipation of the release of The Last Jedi. It is the new line of Star Wars merchandise, anything from toys to books to games, everything will be released this Friday at midnight. Some locations will be open at midnight to allow people to come in. And just so you know, yes, I will be one of those people on Thursday night that will be waiting in line at Target for it to be released or opened. So Force Friday.
Nerd.
Damn straight. but yeah, I can't think of anything else at this point. So anything you want to add to the pop culture segment, Devin?
I don't know. I don't have any like movies or anything.
Okay.
So I've been like music binging lately, so that's been my thing.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Who you been binging lately?
Brand New dropped their latest album.
That's right.
And so that was one of those surprise things where suddenly it was out without any warning. I think there was one day worth of warning, and it was released the next day, which was a complete surprise. But
wasn't that the one that was only being released on vinyl as well?
No, they're doing other versions and whatnot. But
okay,
it It's great. It's fantastic.
Okay.
So just getting some new things. I'll give a shout out. I got some new vinyls from Polyvinyl, and they are wonderful. They did a garage sale, so I just said, you know what, send me 3 records at random, and they did.
40 years later, and vinyl's making a pretty decent comeback right now.
Oh, it's back and better than ever.
Wow. All right, everyone, we want to thank you for joining us for another episode of Jedi and Germs. We appreciate you along for the ride each and every week. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and you know, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, all by that name, Jedi and Germs. We won't break your ankles if you don't leave a review, but we do appreciate it if you take some time on iTunes and leave us a review, or drop by our Facebook page and leave us a review of the show as well. 2 really easy places to do that. We appreciate your interactions. We appreciate you listening each and every week. We hope to talk to you very soon. Thank you for listening. John, take us out.
Hi, everybody.